I think the biggest like risk today, that I think the number one fear everybody has, is ransomware, right? I mean, the idea that you could come in and your practice is totally shut down and you don't and you can't be online right now, right?
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. I hope you're having a great day. Great day. You know, it's turning the corner to summer. That's exciting. My son is now officially, I guess, a second grader. I don't know when you, like, if they get done with first grade or the second graders, or if, like, they have to start second grade to be a second grader, but he's moving first, second grade. That's crazy. And then Evans is going, he's going into kindergarten. Like, that's crazy too. So anyways, kindergarten out, second grader. Life is flying by, but I hope you have a great summer. Hope you have some fun trips planned, et cetera. But I'm not going to talk about that the whole time. We have a great episode. Guest speaker in the house, live in Nashville in the studio today. You're in for a treat and a half, a treat and a half. Before we get started with that, hey, make sure you're on the app. Like, if you're not on the app, go sign up right now. Just stop what you're doing. Get out your phone. Go to the app. Download the app, 3D Dentist app from the App Store. It's good. It's free. Lots of content, etc. If you're hearing this, like, I think one spot left for July Mastermind. Like, run, don't walk. Call Meredith. Meredith at 3D-Dentist.com. Send her an email. Get signed up, because the next one's not till January. And this will change your practice. It will change your practice in an amazingly good way. Otherwise, Advanced Sinus Lift is sold out for the year. So you've missed Advanced Bone Grafting. You got to get on the wait list, because that's filling up. And then, Full Arch Express is also filling up. So, like, just, like, quit being a lurker and a watcher and sign up. Let's go make some magic happen. All right. Without further ado, everybody, welcome. IT Tim.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for the introduction.
IT Tim. That's what I call, I have, you know, a couple of Tims in my life. And so, affectionately, IT Tim. How are you, Tim?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. I'm super pumped to have you. First off, I guess, introduce yourself so people, like, know who you are a little bit more than IT Tim. Although, I may have just cursed you with anybody that you now work with. Associated with me, we'll call you IT Tim. But
hey, there's worse things to be called.
It could be way worse than that to be called. So give me the lowdown on who you are.
Absolutely. I think the best place to start is how we met. Yeah, so
that's true.
Absolutely. So I used to be the CIO of a healthcare company. We did on-site dental at nursing homes. We were in, I think, 6 states at the time. And I think by the time I left the company, we were at 12 states. The reason I left is I was working there. Again, we did on-site dental nursing homes, and COVID hit, and every nursing home in the country shut down. And you can imagine how fun that was during COVID.
Yeah, because I guess y'all really just probably shut down completely at that point.
It was rough. Yeah, I mean, we couldn't get into the homes, so they wouldn't let anybody in. And the worst part is, as everybody knows, kind of post-COVID, you know, hindsight's 2020, is that really a lot of these patients just weren't getting care across the board for many different services.
Yeah, basically no one, probably.
Exactly. And it's like, unfortunately, that probably did a lot more damage to their well-being than, you know, having lockdowns.
So that was kind of your intro into the dental IT world.
Absolutely. So yeah, when I was there, I built a full custom dental EMR, as you remember seeing it a little bit.
Yeah.
And really the reason we did that is there was only a few, you know, like, cloud options at the time. And pretty much
this is right around COVID, I guess, even before COVID at that point.
Exactly. Yeah, it was like, yeah.
2019?
Yeah, 2019 is when we met, and we had started a couple of years before that, like the EMR, that is. So it's, and really a lot of it was also just because, like, most of the EMRs out there, you know, they work great for brick and mortar practices. Like, I wouldn't dream of trying to use that one in.
Sure, sure.
But really all of them are just designed around, like, you have, you know, 4 or 8 chairs, you know, like, hygienists are working these chairs. You have maybe you're doing surgeries in these chairs.
Yep.
And, you know, our whole workflow is totally different than that.
So I imagine, like, outside of, like, that, from a typical standpoint, that was a great entry into, like, brick and mortar dental absolutely. Offices, because you're still dealing with the same kind of, like, equipment on some level, the same specs. And I imagine that, like, IT is IT is IT, whether you're in a dental office or in a turf company for that
absolutely.
Matter.
Yeah, there's an extreme amount of overlap. I mean, there's definitely some skills and experience that comes along with every industry. Even before I worked at that company, I had some dental IT clients in the area that I managed Dentrix and Eaglesoft and all the different things.
So a lot of experience going back even to that. Well, and I imagine too, like when you get into the dental specific technology or even the HIPAA stuff,
that
adds a different layer of complexity to it. Okay, well, let's start. What I want to do today for this conversation is I want to go through a couple of different things. I want to talk about where are most people, what are most people doing with that in their dental practices? What should they be doing? And then we want to talk about some AI stuff. So those are kind of the teasers of what we want to get. We want to touch on today while I got Tim. And if we get a good response, we'll keep bringing Tim back. But I think this is going to be fun. What do you think most the biggest challenge for dental offices is with their current setups? Like, what do you see most often when you walk into a new office or new client? Like, what is the setup and what are the challenges?
I think there's like, so there's two distinct groups of dentists that we encounter, right? And you really have like the rock stars, you have the 3D dentists like yourself. And then there's,
you didn't have to say that, but thank you.
I mean it though. And then there's a lot of dentists that are kind of like, maybe they might be nearing retirement or they're not really, they're kind of just like, they're happy the way they've been doing things. You know, maybe they're not really trying to grow heavily. I mean, I literally just met with one last week that, you know, they don't do 3D. They don't have any 3D scanners. They don't.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So let's focus then on the one, let's focus on the practice, like, cause that's mainly our listener. People like us or want to be like us, I guess. Yeah. But let's focus on that one then.
So some of the challenges I see really in the 3D dental realm is that like really just fragmentation, I would say is a big challenge. You know, like you have a lot of different vendors doing different softwares and just getting them all to talk to each other. Right. I mean, having a seamless experience that your EMR can see your 3D scans, you can have, you know, everything be visible. And mobility is another big one in today's world. I mean, more and more people are on the go. Like, you want to be able to see your schedule and everything remotely at home, right? So it's those are two big challenges. And really, security is always a challenge in today's world. I mean, I would say
we don't want security, so that is a challenge. Yeah,
and no one wants. I mean, no one wants the headaches and the constraints that come along with it. You know. And
all right, so let me slow you down. So fragmentation, mobility, security, those are three big areas. I think the fragmentation is a big one. Honestly, if I would even say, like, I don't think most people know what good IT is because they don't know what's possible. Like, absolutely. And so, like, I feel like my baseline with this was always, like, do my computers work? Like, does my tech work? You know? And so, like, that was kind of the extent of what I thought about. You know, you kind of have opened up my eyes to a lot of, like, how I could... Okay, well, tell me about your workflows and how can we optimize where are bottlenecks, this fragmentation you speak of, how can we consolidate or minimize clicks and different things? But I think that's the first line that people have to understand is, like, if you're just paying for someone to keep your computers running, that's really, like, that shouldn't be the bar.
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of the minimum, right? I mean, that's like the bare minimum. And really, they're really not being a partner in your growth and your success.
No. At that point. No. You know, and that was the other thing is like, it felt like an order taker. And honestly, like, I feel like the other part about it is in previous companies that I've worked with or used is that we would run into like issues and they would be great at fixing the issues. They would never be great about helping resolve that issue for the future. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
Like, how do we develop a strategy around this is a problem we're having? It routinely happens. Maybe if we inputted this new system, this new piece of equipment, whatever it is, we could eliminate that bottleneck altogether.
Absolutely. Or did this update or things like that. And I think a good example of that was like Maverick when we came on board, like his desktop was like having some stability issues and...
my ExoCAD designer, it was like, I thought I had basically bought like the sweetest thing, but part of it was, I don't remember what it was specifically that fixed it.
It was essentially some underlying updates that need to be done. They're the kind of updates that don't happen automatically, especially with like a custom computer like that, which most people in the dental realm will use for like 3D design and CAD work and, you know, anything like that. So it's, basically we just had to do an update and we knew like we had the technical experience with custom builds and gaming computers and all that stuff to
see what it was and how it happened. And but when your stuff's crashing in the middle of it, that's a pain in the ass.
Absolutely. And that's mission critical. I mean, like you're trying to do same days. I mean, like, and your designer gets halfway through a design and
what are some other things? Can you think of anything that like going back to like when we initially started working together, like that you were like, man, these were challenges that Sullivan Dental Partners had that we that we've, I mean, there's been a lot of things we've resolved, but like anything that jumps into your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of big things. I mean, like there was a big Sodexis update we got done for you. The Sodexis load times was a big one.
Yeah.
That was, you know, and largely it's been improved. I know Sodexis is always, can be challenging with anybody, especially with the amount of images you have here.
Yeah, but I think that goes to point, like my question that I've generally asked this to people, because my thing is I want to challenge you to either, like it's an area in our businesses that we just think of it as if it's not on fire, it's working. And I want to evolve that way of thinking. I want us to evolve the way of thinking to where am I meeting with, like, we've got regular meetings now where we're looking, okay, here's the issues we've had. Obviously, how can we resolve them? But also how can we like strategize moving forward to build things out more appropriately? And I feel like I've got a partner that's aligned with that strategy, that mentality and getting things done. And I want people to hear that because I want them to either ask more of their people or look other places, honestly.
Absolutely. And that's a big sign. I mean, a lot of people, you know, they've used the same provider for years. Maybe their IT provider, you know, isn't growing, doesn't have a growing staff to accommodate them. And I see all the time people outgrow their provider, you know, and it's not a knock on their current provider. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, I think that does. I think that's happened a lot with our offices, honestly, is the provider that they had was good at doing that. But now we've got Sarek, VHF, Armand Gerbach, Shining, Medit. You know, there's not one system that fits everything. You got to have all these different products. Exocad, I want Exocad on multiple computers. Like, there's a lot more that goes into it. You really are right on that. Do you think people are overpaying for what they're getting?
I think, like much of the time, they definitely are. Absolutely. Yeah, and I think especially in the regard that they're usually not getting that partner support. You know, they're not getting the strategy for, you know, hey, we're about to buy this machine. What do you think about it? We're looking at this software. Can you vet it for us?
I'm putting you on the spot now about things, but I'm curious. Like what would you say, like, should be what people should be paying for IT?
I would say it ultimately depends, right? So, I mean, if you have a partner that's taking care of everything.
Like, it was a very PC answer, but keep going.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think really like what I see is the average, and it really depends on the area, right? So, I mean, you know, you might be paying a different rate in, say, California than you would in Tennessee.
Sure.
But I usually see the average like being a per user model, you know, and so how many employees they have.
Okay. So that's, you see a lot of per user models. Okay.
Exactly. And usually the two distinct like buckets is you usually see someone doing per user or per device. You know,
okay.
We like doing per user just because, like, how many devices, like, people have now, especially in the post COVID world, many people have two devices. They take one home. They have here at your office, for example. I mean, you have tons of devices.
Yeah. I don't like that. I would not like devices because I have too many devices for myself in different places, but yes,
exactly. And it's just cleaner. I mean, it's just easier for us. It's like, as you grow, as you add staff, I mean, it helps, you know, we grow with you. Right. So it's usually what I see, the average is the per user, you know, all inclusive where they take care of everything at a moment's notice. They don't nickel and dime you. They don't bill you. I usually see it around that like 100 to 130 a user, you know, in the middle Tennessee Southeast region. You might see that more like 175, 200 in California, for example, and if you're in LA. But you know, it gets up there, right?
Yeah, so I'm doing math here. So if I have an office of 10 employees, that's $130, $140 a user. That's, what is that? That's like $1,500 somewhere in there.
Something like that. Yeah, exactly.
On like a monthly basis.
Exactly.
That you would kind of expect to pay for some reasonably good IT.
And that usually someone that's in that range is also going to be kind of like a rock star in the IT realm. They're going to take care of like your cybersecurity. They're going to be monitoring everything, doing all your updates, anything from Windows updates to Sodexis updates, right? You know, oftentimes they might break out large projects separately. You know, like you need a complete like overhaul of like every desktop and every computer.
How much do y'all deal with directly with vendors versus like
a lot?
So you're dealing with the Patterson, the Shine, the Seronas, the Medits, the whoever's.
Absolutely. Yeah. As a Medits, even all the way down to the printer vendor, I mean, RJ Young, or if people use it.
Yeah.
We often try to steer people away from managed print contracts from a cost stance.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good, yeah.
Like if you could give like a couple like tips to people, Like, that's maybe one of them.
That's a big one. So two or three things I see people losing money a lot, or like kind of just letting money go out the door, is printers is a big one. Managed print contracts. I kind of call them like print marriages, frankly. There's a lot of predatory print companies out there that lock people in 3-5 year agreements. And they basically have to lease it. They get hit with color overages. So if they're printing color, they get charged them per page quarterly of what they print. So like I've seen it cost thousands of dollars a month for companies that they're spending.
What do you suggest for a dental office?
I would always suggest just buying and owning the printer, frankly. I mean, I've done the math 100 different ways. I mean, you know.
Just like a printer off Amazon?
The printer off Amazon. I'm a big fan of Epson. I mean, I think Epson's done really good from a print cost, you know, especially kind of their mid-upper range printers. Like their EcoTank Pros are really good printers.
Okay.
You know, that you just, you actually have a few here even. You already had some when we forget that. But they're just good printers. I mean, if you had asked me,
I didn't think we were going to talk about printers today, but that is a good tip.
I know it's kind of surprising to me too. I know, most IT people will.
No, that's what I love about you, Tim. Is you're always okay. What else? What's another one? Give me another good.
Another good one's internet. I see a lot of people sign it, like Comcast, for example.
Dude, we don't even know what internet is, Dennis. We're just like more. Give me faster. I'm like, I don't even know if I need this many gigabits of speed, but I'm like, keep going.
Well, that's a great thing to have that. But a lot of people sign an agreement with Comcast. I literally saw this week with a small dental office in Murfreesboro, actually, that they had an agreement with Comcast. They signed in 2019. They haven't renewed it since then. They're paying, I think, 4 times as much for the amount of speed they're getting. And Comcast, as much as we all hate Comcast, I mean, we all know it. That like they won't go out of their way to call you and say, hey,
they're not going to negotiate a lower deal.
Exactly. And when your promo runs up at the end of that year or two, they're not going to call you and say, hey, we could cut your bill in half and double your speed. They're not going to say that. Right. So you kind of have to be on top of them. And that's a good IT partner will do that. Right.
Yeah. I mean, that added value is huge. I mean, I think that there's even like equipment markup, is a big one. I think that gets people a lot of times. And like, I will say, like, you've done a great job of being like, sure, you're not going to be the cheapest, but you're like, I'm going to give you some very tangible ways where I'm going to help save you money. Like, absolutely. That it should be that way.
Yeah. And the third one I see is really unused services. And I think that was a good example. I think when we first came in with you, like, I think you had just switched to a cheaper fiber service, like 3 or 4 months prior. But then that fiber circuit didn't get canceled and it just kind of got left behind.
Yeah. I mean, I think like the mindset we had when, to give some context to that, was like, we should have a backup internet because we're voice over internet and so many things run on internet. And then it was like, okay, well, when is the last time our internet actually kicked over or gone down?
And actually, to be clear, we actually still do have a backup. I think you actually effectively
two backups.
You had 3 circuits effectively at the time.
That tells you what I don't know. Yeah.
No, and that's what we're here for.
No, that's right. Unused services, like, though. Like, you get caught up in the, and I'm not the only one that's like, I think that's normal. Like, you're trying to run a business, trying to be a clinician, and like, I don't have time to like micromanage every single credit card small statement, which is a problem. But you're right.
And that hits your margin, right? I mean, that's it. Then
it does hit your margin. Yeah.
That's where you see at the end of the quarter. You're like, I thought, man, we hit our goals. Why isn't our margin where it should have been? Right.
And we're seeing that with all the offices we work with, we have direct octopi access to a lot of the top line numbers that we don't on the bottom line. And so, but it is interesting because we're seeing more and more people who are like, they're doing really well. Like they're growing their businesses, but they're not making more money. And I do think it's because things like that sneak up on them and they're just not, they're not aware of those things.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially because I mean, between a print contract and just an internet circuit or two, and even just an outdated circuit, even if it's not an unused one, I mean, we've seen just a small office with 5 or 10 employees, we've seen them waste $600-$800+ a month.
Well, look, if you haven't,
yeah.
PSA, if you have not printed out your credit card statement for like the past 60 days, and gone through and like just seeing what the hell you're paying for, both professionally and personally, make some time to do this. I'm serious. Like it is unfortunate how much little things, the $15, $20, $50 a month add up.
Absolutely. And I mean, like we're going to talk more about this later in the podcast, but like AI will help you with that. Right. I mean, it's export your statement, upload it to AI, and ask it to give you a breakdown.
I haven't thought about doing that. That's a great idea.
Ask it to look for any red flags or anything that looks unclear. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, and the best thing with AI, and we'll go more to this later, but like give it the actual Excel export from your bank. It'll do good. I mean, most of the newest models will do pretty good with a PDF, but if you have a pretty big statement you're trying to feed it, it'll do much better with an Excel file. And it'll give you, I mean, it'll do whatever you want. It'll break it down by category. It'll find anything that, is a new charge.
Oh my gosh. We got to get into that.
Any outliers, ChatGPT actually just announced a new like a finance kind of module for it that'll help you with personal.
That's finance. Insane. All right. So, okay, well, back to the IT side of things. What else do I need? What else do we need to know? What should dentists be doing?
I think really some of the biggest things they should be doing, I mean, and there's like two or three things, right? I mean, I know like we love to talk about cybersecurity. I think that's a big one. I mean, and really just doing some of the
And what does that mean? What are some of the, like, what are the things that, how does that affect us on a day-to-day basis?
I think the biggest, like, risk today that, like, I think the number one fear everybody has is ransomware, right? I mean, the idea that you could come in and your practice is totally shut down and you don't, and you can't be online right now, right?
That seems so freaking foreign until we had a buddy in Nashville who basically had that happen and had a bunch of data stolen, and like they were like, we want $1 million, you're not getting your data back. Like, it was
exactly, and it's happening more and more. I mean, it's scary. I mean, and really the age of AI is really accelerating it, because they're finding, you know, holes in software faster than they can fix them.
Wow.
And I think that'll eventually catch up.
Second PSA, do you have cybersecurity insurance?
Absolutely. That's a good one. And keep up with it. And make sure that that insurance actually is covering ransomware. More and more cybersecurity insurance policies are starting to put pretty low caps on, you know, ransomware and or just getting rid of it altogether.
Because it's so, so, that tells you how common it is then if they're not willing to insure it.
Exactly. Especially, and we've also seen is like once someone's been, you know, affected once, then they're pretty much going to not get insured again. You know, like after their year's up, I mean, their insurance is most likely going to drop them.
Yeah, there's no reason to keep them.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's expensive. I mean, and it's happening more and more because they've had to pay out so many. I mean, up until like I think 2 or 3 years ago or 4 years ago, I mean, it was like a single digit percentage of how many times they had to actually pay out of, you know, a ransomware, and then it went up 400-600% in just a year, yeah, or 2 years.
That's insane.
It's bad, you know, and it's really affecting larger companies the most.
So okay, so someone's listening to this. How do they check this stuff? Where do they start? Because that's what I'm hearing a little bit, is people are going to feel overwhelmed, because they're going to be like, well, I don't even have an IT person.
Yeah.
They're the IT person.
So hopefully they have it's someone they work with, obviously, for insurance already, most likely for their liability, their medical professional, everything else. So it's, talk to your agent, see what your coverage is like. That'd be a great place to start.
And okay.
They likely know a little bit about cybersecurity insurance. They're most likely going to ask for, you know, your whole life story on your IT. Yeah. So it's,
yeah. Which is going to probably open up some holes, which exactly. Is normal,
which is good. Cause that's the kind of questions
I called him.
Well, that's the kind of questions that help start, you know, like start the journey, right. You know, of getting, you know, into a safer place. Right.
Yes.
And that's really what they want.
Ignorance, unfortunately, is not bliss, dentists, because that is what we want to live. Ignorance is bliss.
It definitely isn't, you know, and some of the biggest threat vectors we see with all that is email. I mean, that still remains to be probably the number one, people sending, you know, a fraudulent email or a vendor getting hacked. I mean, we've seen it in other industries where, like, say an example here would be like if Patterson got hacked, or if, you know,
right.
EagleSoft or got hacked and they sent you an email, you're going to probably trust it. You know, you're going to click it and, you know, see what it does. Right. And that's the sad reality of where we're at today.
Well, we have so many either team members on email, they're using their personal emails. Like, there's a lot of things like we see. They're logging into their personal accounts on our networks and things. Like, those are all risks.
Absolutely. And every risk compounds, right? And really, the biggest thing about security is, like, that they tell you is security in depth. I mean, that's you never want to be reliant on any one security mechanism. And that's really going to be, like, that's the easiest way to get hit.
Well, I can advocate for Tim is I can't even get into my shit half the time. It annoys me. But I guess it's the good things. We're like Fort Knox over here. I've had multiple people say that to him, like multiple vendors and like manufacturers we work with. They'll like send me a text and they'll be like, it is a pain in the ass to get. And I'm like, I understand. But they're like, but you're covered. So
it's kind of there's some give and pull at all, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
But we do work with them to make sure that they got what they need when they're on site.
You do. I will say that, you know who's in our house. That's for sure. There's no mistake there. All right. Any other things that you're like, I had 30 minutes with doctors to talk about that I want them to know about what they should be looking at on an IT standpoint in their practice, other concerns, other risks?
I would say biggest thing is like, what's the age of your server? Like if you're using yep. like an on-premises, like Open Dental or EagleSoft or Dentrix. Yeah. When's the last time anybody even touched it? Is it being backed up?
Okay. That's a great one. What's the age of your server? Is it backed up?
And is it backed up to the cloud? Honestly, that's the biggest thing. I see a lot of people that have backups and they take one home every day and they swap it. anything that depends on humans, like depends on us. I mean, we're none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect.
Yeah, no, that's why the AI x-rays.
Exactly, right? I mean, can you imagine if you had to manually, like, every time you took an x-ray, go, like, actually...
I had to go look at it.
Yeah, so it's the same thing, right? I mean, it's like, it needs to be seamless, and it needs to be tested, ideally. You know, even not just quarterly. I mean, just someone needs to make sure that backup is safe and secure and actually working and has some kind of visibility on it. But, like, just make sure that, like, you know, a lot of Dell servers, for example, like, they have an orange light that will be blinking on the front. That's usually a warning light that tells you, and it makes it pretty obvious. It's a really big light that this will be flashing orange. And that's, if you don't have an IT person, you see that, you should probably call one.
So a server checkup. Servers are expensive, too.
And they've gotten more expensive. They're getting more expensive by the day right now, thanks to AI, unfortunately. But it's, yeah, definitely not cheap time to replace them. It's a lot of Dell servers, kind of a quiet, like a well-kept secret in the IT world, is like Dell, Lenovo, HP Enterprise servers, which most offices have. They're not diesel trucks. I mean, as long as you take care of them and you're not torturing them, they're going to last like 10 plus years.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so it's you might need some upgrades, and yes, they might not be as fast, and they may not be perfect for every use case. I'm not saying most offices should wait 10 years to replace a server. You know, really much past the 5 to 7, you should at least have some good monitoring on it, make sure that you have backups and everything else in place. But again, like, don't go rush out in today's world. Like, if I was an office and I had a 5-year-old server with today's prices, I would probably be looking at trying to extend the lifespan of it another couple of years.
Well, it is. I mean, we were looking at ours. It was like crazy to get a new server, how expensive.
Yeah, they give
was.
You, wasn't it like a 6-digit quote, I think?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I got a 6-digit quote for IT. I was like, I need to look elsewhere.
That's what kind of pushed you to think.
Well, and I think that is the problem. I think most of us, again, if I had to sum it up, and you're probably in the boat if you're listening, is if it's not broke, why fix it? That's the mentality. But it probably is broke. You're just ignorant to it. Or it's not on fire. And so as you grow your business, we have got to leverage better partners in all areas to support our businesses so that we can grow and have more success and not focused and people that look out for our blind spots. I call it extending our bandwidth, right? Like, I talk about this a lot, that, like, whether it's a team member, whether it's a partner like Tim, like, I've got to have people that can extend my bandwidth. Otherwise I can only go so far. And too many of you listening to this, you're shouldering all the daggum stuff. Your bandwidth's maxed. Stuff's falling through the cracks. You're dealing with fires. You're probably shaking your head in this regard. Let's switch to AI. Let's switch to AI.
Yeah, it's a fun one. Everybody loves it, right? It's.
I mean, I do and I don't. Honestly, like, I feel like I'm under leveraging it in some areas. I mean, obviously, we're maximizing it. I'm doing lectures on AI. Like, it's crazy the impact it's having dental, X-rays. Voice Stack, obviously, with a lot of the stuff they're doing with AI. Then there's ChatGPT, Claude. But I what I mean by I feel overwhelmed or I don't like it is I feel like I don't want to, like, miss out. And I'm underutilizing it, not utilizing it. Talk about what your experience with AI is right now, what platforms you're using, where we as dentists should be looking at it, using it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of great places to use it. I think Overjet, for example, has some really amazing things they're doing with AI. For example, and we use just about every platform. I mean, we're using Claude, Gemini, Codex, like on the ChatGPT side. We're doing self-hosted models. We're using OpenClaw, you know, Hermes. Those are what we call harnesses that can then kind of have ongoing automation and that just basically keep working while you're asleep. And there's a lot of things to be careful with, right? Especially in healthcare. I mean, with HIPAA and PHI. And basically, like, models, I mean, they can do a lot of amazing things, but they can also do a lot of damage. So that's the thing you really got to be careful with setting them up and managing them. But there's a lot of cool stuff they could be doing. Like, I know you sent me a screenshot just a few weeks ago wondering about, you know, another dentist that was doing some neat
things. The OpenClaw stuff, yeah.
Exactly. And there's some good things there, but there's also some red flags to watch out for, you know. I think in the perfect world, you know, it's a little bit more of an investment up front, but, like, self-hosted models help alleviate a lot of that. And that's why it's so hard to buy Mac Studio now, for example. You know, Mac Studios are fantastic for running self-hosted models. And that's why everybody's been buying them. Yeah, so it's to the point where they can be a little hard to find. But if you can get your hands on a Mac Studio or you already have one, it's a tremendous way to kind of have your cake and eat it too. But you can do some really cool things, from automating, you know, patient communications, to automating chart reviews, to getting, you know, your daily schedule, getting a daily pulse sent to you of everything you have going on. It can help be the bridge between all those different softwares. Kind of going back to our first point, right? I mean, fragmentation. It can be a really powerful tool to help solve fragmentation.
And I guess that's where, like I hear all that, and I'm like, yes. But I don't know where to start.
That's a great point. So I mean, I think ultimately, you know, a good place to start is bring in a partner like us, you know, and I think, you know, me and you probably need to spend some time together.
Yes, probably do.
In the next few weeks. But, you know, really, I think bringing a partner in will help you do it safely.
We'll talk about that. Let's have an open mic with our conversation a little bit.
Yeah.
And where do you feel like we could be leveraging this better right now? Or what would... If you ran Sullivan Dental Partners, what steps would you be taking?
So one of the really good things about, like, say, Open Dental, for example, is that you do have, like, direct access to your database, right? Open Dental is getting a little bit more, you know, cagey on, you know, doing write access to it, understandably and justifiably. But that means you have direct access to your data. You're not relying on what's called an API call, which is like a programmatic way to, like, talk to a software. Usually when you have to go through an API, you kind of have to do it on their terms and you have to talk to them, you know, their way. Right. Whereas with a direct database, I mean, you can essentially, it's like going to a bookshelf and you can pick out any book of any part of your data you want. So really for you, I would say, I mean, it would be awesome to get you like a Mac Studio. We could set up an agent on it with like read-only access to Open Dental at first. Eventually we could set up like a scoped access to where it can maybe do some limited writes, you know, to actually be able to interact and make appointments or see appointments or things like that, or maybe update notes, you know, those kinds of things. But it could really be a powerful tool because, like, on the go, you could have a way to see, you know, outside of, like, the Open Dental mobile app, you could just ask, you know, Claude or GPT with the right level of subscription, you know, that tell me about my schedule. What kind of cases do I have tomorrow? What kind of cases do I have this week? Is there anything I should be, you know, ready for? Is there any new patients that have been added? You know,
so almost like how I would work with ChatGPT on other things outside the world, it would be like a ChatGPT for my practice, kind of.
Absolutely.
That's how I explain to myself in layman's terms.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's a personal assistant, right? That you don't have to pay. You know, you have to pay for up front and you have a little bit of ongoing cost, but you don't have the salary, right?
When can we start?
We could start probably, like I said, next week. We got to get hands on a Mac Studio for
right. Well, you have my permission to find us a Mac Studio.
Absolutely. That'll be fun.
And get this launched.
Justin will love it. Yeah. He's our AI red pilled, person and staff. So
Matrix reference there for those of you that didn't catch it. Well, so I definitely want to do that. And I like the idea of installing it there. Some things I need help with. Would I be able to like isolate patients that have certain codes? Absolutely. Then be like, get those emails so I could send out emails to those patients that like haven't said yes, like an implant code, for example.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can cater marketing to them. It can do any kind of analytics on everything that's in Open Dental. It could even access some of the other software that you have, right? Yeah. So any exocad designs, any overjet stuff that's locally,
anything we give images. Access to it, it can. That's fascinating.
And there's a lot of safeguards we'd want to put in. And that's where, like I said, I highlighted the importance of working with a partner. You know, it's really easy to set these things up, but it's also really easy to set them up wrong. Unfortunately, you're setting them up in an unsafe way.
We need to figure this out because you may have a lot of people calling you asking about it.
Oh, yeah. No,
we're all the phone on that.
Yeah. So we're like I said, we're extremely heavily invested in it. We're actually a Claude Anthropic partner now, as well as.
Is Claude one of your personal favorites?
If you had asked me 3 months ago, I would have said overwhelmingly
I'm
yes.
Still using ChatGPT mainly. I just got a Claude account. I need to start using Claude. So, T-Bone likes Claude.
Honestly, it changes by the month. That's the easy answer. If you'd asked me 2 or 3 months ago, I would have been a diehard yes to use Claude over everything else. A few months ago, they started putting some pretty heavy limits in, so where you get a lot less usage for the amount of money you're paying for. Then they also quietly kind of reduce its capability. I mean, it'd be like coming in and one of your employees is just suddenly.
Yeah, unless you pay more.
Not even unless you pay more. You couldn't actually even pay more to fix it.
Why is that?
Because they couldn't keep up with demand. That's the simple answer. They signed a new contract with XAI and SpaceX to try to get more capacity.
Who did? Claude or
Anthropic? Anthropic. Anthropic did.
Okay.
Anthropic. I think in the short term, they may be resolving that finally, you know, but it really kind of highlighted like a big problem with AI as a whole, right? Especially when you're not self-hosting it with a Mac Studio and you can actually run a lot of that locally. Like you could think you're getting the capability one day, and then the next day it could just be quietly reduced by 30, 40%. and be 30-40% less intelligent than it was yesterday, and you not know it.
That's
right?
Fascinating.
Yeah, and you're still paying the same amount. That's the scary part, right? So, and the only reason this got brought to light, you know, at least like scientifically, is because there is one of the AI engineers at AMD, one of the biggest chip producers in the world, you know, basically, or chip designers, I should say, you know, noticed that with their whole team that they're getting less results. So they put together the amount of data they collect as an enterprise company is
massive, I'm sure. Yeah.
So they actually could track, like, over time, they actually measured every single AI, like, question and prompt and query that they ever did. And they actually measure the outcome of them and how good those outcomes were and how often they had to repeat the work. And they said up until about March, it was near flawless with Opus, with Claude Opus. But then basically around March, especially early March, it just went through the floor. And they were able to directly line that up with when usage started going up and when everything like that. And the way they posted it and the way they made it public, they weren't trying to like throw shade at Anthropic. They said that they got a lot of good use out of them and they really frankly hope that they fixed them. But they ultimately moved to another provider that they wouldn't name drop. I suspect it was ChatGPT and Codex, which is just really good. I mean, frankly, you get more usage like for what you pay for with ChatGPT right now. And it is just phenomenally good. I mean,
fascinating. What personally should I be using it for?
Just about marketing, contract review. Obviously, for something important, still use an attorney when possible. But just any kind of quick stuff like data analytics.
You think those jobs are on the outs?
I don't necessarily think they're going to be completely on the outs, mainly because like licensure and everything else, you know. But I do think
have one attorney that signs off on a bunch of documents versus them having to be written.
Exactly. I think they're going to get a lot more done, right? Yeah. So I do think that it's an interesting time and a challenging time in the legal realm. One of the safest professions actually is dental surgeons. Yeah. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I did not know that, but I mean, it doesn't surprise me that much. Right? I mean, like, yeah, I would say like general physicians, I would be like, on the lookout.
I think it was
like,
either number one or number two. It was either MIT or Harvard did a massive like survey, you know, research on like the most threatened jobs and the least threatened professions. And
like oral, like diagnosis is that job's gonna be gone. I mean, that would be more or less AI. AI can diagnose.
Absolutely.
You feed it symptoms, you feed it data. I mean, Overjet's doing that for us, you know, so it's, but you're right that it's the execution will be,
exactly,
protected for a little while.
I think you probably got the longest time, just because like every patient's different, right? I mean, everybody has different needs. I think ultimately, even when they can accurately diagnose it, even if they came out tomorrow, which I think it's going to be at least 3 to 5 years minimum till like robotics is going to
really
automatically do anything. But then
robotics plus AI robotics, yeah,
exactly, right. And even if it was that good in 3 to 5 years, we all know the government doesn't move very fast,
no,
right?
It will never let
the FDA is going to. It's going to take 10 years before the FDA will approve anything. Yeah,
well, I'm going to get while the getting's good.
Yeah, so you got a lot of time. I think you got a lot more time than most professions have before you really get heavily disrupted. And I think it's an interesting topic, right? Because, I mean, we've never seen this in human history where we've had every industry, you know, almost every industry affected all at once by, you know, progression of, you know, better output and better everything, right? So it's, yeah, I think there's some interesting economics, you know, thought theories out there that basically like thought experiments where if you increase the capacity and the output so drastically of a service or good, you can sometimes ultimately have a net increase in the overall demand. And basically the idea is that like, because so many different industries have like needs, you know, because there's so much pent up demand in the
right.
world. Right. I mean, there's so many things like even with you, like every day, you're like, man, I wish this software could do this, or I wish I had a software that could do this, you know, or I wish I could do this. I think ultimately we're going to see, especially in the next 10 years, like a massive increase in demand. That doesn't mean people aren't going to lose their jobs. I think you're going to see a lot of industries change, right? I mean, people are going to move from industry A to industry B and they're going to,
well, look, I mean, it's, yeah. And I think like for us personally, like I don't want people to lose their jobs, but it's so hard to either find people or find people that can do the jobs. It's like, it's forcing me to like find other solutions. Right. And so it's like, it's the nature of the beast a little bit is if AI can do it better, it's hard to say.
Or faster, right?
Yeah.
I think right now, like the human in the loop is the idea, you know, that I think we'll still.
Yeah, that's what I hear right now. Like they said, the common phrase is you may not lose your job to AI, but you'll lose your job to someone who uses AI.
Yep, exactly. And that's spot on, right? So it's like you kind of have to adapt or die right now, right? And that's kind of the
world, especially right? In your world, man, I feel like it's like on some level you're at risk or super safe because someone has to know how to leverage it and use it. And that's where like, that's a very productive position to be able to leverage it with responsibility.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, I think we're busier than ever. Yeah, it's a good that. Problem, but it's still, you know, we've hired I think 6 people in the last 6 months.
It's so crazy.
We're growing quick, you know, and then we have 2 full-time developers just to keep up with it. Yeah.
What are you excited about in the AI world coming down the pipe? Oh, I got Common AI for my Rivian.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, that's I think they actually put Grok in my Tesla, so that's funny. It's...
Yeah, so I guess it runs on OpenPilot. Okay. And so it drives itself now.
I know exactly the one you're talking about. So like,
I had to change a harness out in there.
So you did all that yourself on that?
Yeah, I did.
That's all. I've seen that online. I've never gotten to play with it.
It's pretty slick. Although I gotta fix something because something I've done wrong is now when it goes to sleep, it doesn't want to like shift into gear. So I know that sounds like a big deal, but I'm pretty sure it's a minor deal. But yeah, it like once I start going, it drives and it does way better than the Rivian's.
Especially the Gen 1.
Lane keep assist. The Gen 1's atrocious. So, yes.
Like I said, I'm ruined. I mean, it's like...
Well, you are. I almost switched to the Cybertruck until but this is what kept me from doing it, was I was like, okay, this is great.
Yeah, that's... I mean, like I said, it drives me everywhere. I mean, I went to Memphis and back last week all on the same day. And that's the thing is, it's actually saved me probably at least $2,000-$3,000 in hotel fees already. You know, it's like historically, I probably would have driven there, stayed the night.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes I still do just because depending on the timing, but, you know, I was done at 7 o'clock p.m.
And it is nice to not have to, like, it does reduce your... You got to pay attention, but it reduces it drastically, the energy level.
Especially Hardware 4, and that's what I'm fortunate to have that in mind. But it's, you know, Hardware 4, I mean, it's... Honestly, I have, like, my laptop in my lap most of the time on the way here. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just... That's amazing.
I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. That's, like, honestly, like, self-driving is one of the most exciting things, I think, you know, and I think it's something that's basically here. I mean, we're seeing it in Nashville. I mean, Waymo may not be the best example of it right now, but it's not going away. I mean, that's a really exciting thing. I think just automation as a whole. Yeah, I'm also excited to see it in healthcare. I mean, I've been seeing it for at least 5-10 years now, where we've been talking about it with AI radiology. I mean, it's hard to get enough radiologists. Yeah, it's to be able to do reads. You know, and they you can't. It takes a long time for someone to go to school and actually, you know, get their doctorate and go to med school and become a radiologist, right? So it's, and they end up costing $300+.
Like, that job's got to go away.
And the thing is, I don't know that it's going to go away, right? So I think, and it's actually really interesting. I think with AI, they found right now in today's tech that it actually is basically as accurate as a radiologist for most, you know, diagnoses that it would make. But there's a caveat to it. There's some things that it gets wrong that radiologists actually easily see, like they easily spot and they can diagnose like that. But there's a lot of things that radiologists get wrong that it just spots immediately.
But that to me would be, then I just have radiologists that just check false. They just check the positives.
So
they verify the positives.
Where I really like, what I'm excited about, I think will ultimately happen is, and this goes back to that demand theory, right? Is that, you know, where you kind of see increased demand right now. There's 2 things with imaging, especially with MRI, and a lot of, I don't know if you knew this, but
no, I think I know where you're going with this. Keep going.
Yeah. So the first thing is the scan times, right? I mean, it takes, you know, anywhere from 25 to 40 minutes, depending on, you know, the magnet that they're using. I don't know if you knew this, but I have a pretty heavy MRI background as well.
I did not know that. That doesn't surprise me though. At this point, like Tim.
I installed an MRI machine with nothing but the manual and got it accredited with ACR, the American College of Radiology, and all this stuff as a past life. But it was a lot of fun. Yeah, so we built a Faraday cage, all that fun stuff. But
gosh.
Yeah, so it was basically with the MRI, though, like the biggest issue with it has always been scan times. And that's also like that affects the patient experience. That makes it where if they twitch, that's that one sequence. They probably have to redo that one sequence. Adds 5 or 10 more minutes to the experience, and no one likes going in the tube for 40 minutes, everything else. Whereas, like, so AI on the front end is drastically speeding that up, and they've already demonstrated that they can do it with existing magnets. It's just processing, because they can actually speed it up and work through the noise and get the same clinical image. So they're taking scans from 40 minutes to like 3 minutes or 5 minutes.
Crazy.
So that's
the one I got recently was not as long.
So that ultimately is going to increase, you know, demand, I think, in the long run. Because right now, the biggest drawback of why physicians haven't struggled to refer them is, you know, it might take time for them to go get an image. It takes, you know.
Well, yeah, it should have everything. It's like if more people should get imaging than is getting imaging. And it's cost, time, availability.
Exactly.
And so, yes, if you can reduce all those things, in theory, the demand, if it becomes easier to get a chocolate shake, more people will get a chocolate shake.
Exactly. And that's spot on. So, like, and then the second fold to that, you know, what's going to happen with that is if you reduce imaging times to 3 to 5 minutes, what's the next problem going to be? Well, you're going to have a huge backlog for reads with radiologists, right? So I think what ultimately will probably happen in the long run, I think it's not going to happen tomorrow. I think it's going to be 5 or 10 years out. is that you're going to see basically it become more of like a regular thing, like where like you just go in, get like, you know, an MRI of all core systems, like go get a brain, get a spine, get a, you know, a different, you know, a couple different MRIs. It takes 10 minutes and then they're going to send it to an AI. It's going to do a quick just read of it. And yep. If you're not having any complaints, if you're not presenting with a complaint, if you're not like having any medical issues and it gives all clear, it may not go to a human, right? But if you are presenting with complaints and it's inconclusive, it's going to get escalated to a radiologist, right?
Like a second tier.
So I don't think they're going to go anywhere. I think, you know, radiologists are safe.
It'll evolve.
It's going to evolve.
It'll
right?
evolve. I don't think they're as safe as you think. But anyways, I love it. Oh my gosh, what an episode. If you guys like this, you too can have talks with IT Tim. No, in all seriousness, I am always skeptical about giving out my trade secrets that then get used other places and potentially limit my access to said trade secrets. But Tim is too good of a dude not to let you guys know about him. So I'm glad that he was able to come on. Thank you, Tim,
thank you
coming on the show. Seriously, if you want a if you want someone to give you look at your stuff, give you an observation from a 10,000 foot view of what's going on. If you need somebody that can help you, or if you want to just install OpenClaw so you can do cool things like we're going to do, seriously, let's get that going, Tim.
Yeah, check our website.
Then please, how can they contact you?
Yeah, our website, tmtech.net. That's tmtech.net. And my email is just tim@tmtech.net as well. I got a great team that we'd be happy
tmtech.net.
Yep, .net, not .com. I wish I had .com. They wanted it.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. You're probably too cheap to get that.
Oh, they wanted $100,000 for that.
Okay, well, that's probably too much to get. Yeah. You're correct.
I'd be a couple grand for it, you know.
All right, man. Well, TiVo would have been like, if it's not free. But tmtech.net, and then seriously, email them is probably a great way to get in touch with you quickly.
Absolutely.
And that is tim@tmtech.net.
Absolutely.
All right, I did it. That'll be in the show notes as well. Everybody work smarter, not harder. We will see you next time. And we're going to have to get you back to talk more AI. We'll do a recap when our Mac Studio is in and functioning. And I can get some feedback on that.
We could spend some time going through all of that's working.
Absolutely, everybody. Y'all have a great day. We'll talk soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.